Well, y'all are here, huh? Everybody come out for Team Lean? Oh, no, okay. Let's just pray. Father, we thank you tonight for change in our lives. We thank you, Father, that you're a God who's interested in changing us. You've put before us opportunity to change. You've given us grace, which is what enables us to change. You strengthen us and enable to walk through change. And Father, I pray just in these weeks as we're turning our hearts towards the subject of change, that you'd speak to each of us concerning changes that we as individuals need to make, that you draw us closer into the fullness of your plan, to the center of your will for us, that you would enable us, every one of us, enable us in whatever way we need help, whatever way we need strengthening and understanding, whatever we need from you, Father. I thank you that this is, during these weeks, this is a time that you'll be adding that to us and helping us and enabling us. And Father, it's not enough that we just hear some messages. We want, Father, we want some transformation. So we just open ourselves to you and just take a moment right there where you are and just let him know that you're open to him and his will, that you're open to change. Hallelujah. Father, we're just open to change. We certainly have our own changes, things we want to see different in our minds, but we know, Father, that it all hasn't entered into our minds yet, which you would like to do through us and in us. So we invite you, Father, to speak to us and in these days and to make your will and your ways known to us and enable us to change in ways that we didn't even see it coming. Hallelujah. Father, I pray for us that we would all as a body, that we would flow more and more and more into what you have for us, that we'd make progress. We'd make progress. We'd all make progress. We would grow and make progress in what you've assigned us to do. Hallelujah. We thank you for it. We'd leave off things that have been holding us back. Cast those things aside. Those things would fall away from us as we make you and your purpose the center of our lives. We thank you tonight for your help and your enablement. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God. I know some of us want some literal weights to fall off. Okay. Praise God. Tonight we're continuing with our series called Catalyst to Change. We started that last week and we talked about change. And this is a good time of year to talk about change because people seem to be interested in change, thinking about change. And the last week we talked about the fact that all change starts with a turn. And it's that simple. It has to start somewhere. And a lot of times we just want to get to the end, but it has to start somewhere, and it starts with a turn. And the Bible word for turn is to repent. And, you know, it's really very simple concept. We tend to make the word repent a word that has a negative connotation, but to repent means to turn. And we're going to talk a little more about that tonight, what the fullness of that. But I just want to remind you tonight that all change starts with a turn. And hopefully a lot of us last week started making a turn. Did you? Have you started making a turn in the last couple of weeks in your life? Anybody? Some of you stood on a scale tonight and said you were making a turn. But other than that, there are lots of different turns. And even though that might be one that seems obvious to you, probably there's greater changes than that for all of us in our lives, turns that the Lord has for us to make. And, you know, it's a process. Change is a process. Change may begin with a turn, but it's a process that continues. It's not just, all right, I made that change and you go on. Because it's not quite that simple, but you begin to make a turn. And so we talked about that last week, and then we took a little time at the end of the service, and we shared with each other some of the some people. I think most of us had an opportunity to share what the turns are that we were making. So tonight we're going to continue with that, and I want to go back and talk a little bit more about the word repent, because it's the Bible word for change. It's about change. It's about making a change. And if you think of sin in the sense of what it literally is, sin is missing the mark. And we could all name what we can, you know, what the Bible names specific sins. And then we can all talk about like our favorite ones, which usually are the ones that, you know, we don't do that we like to talk about other people doing. So we like to bring those up. But really anything outside of God's will for you is you're missing the mark. He has a mark for you. He has a call for you. He's a purpose and a design for you. He's got something ordained for you, and anything, you know, anything outside of that is sin. You're missing His mark for you. In fact, the Bible says that not only it's not just what we do that's sin, but it's what some people call sins of omission. There's a sin when you don't do. Sin isn't just what you do, it's what you don't do at times. When he that knows to do certain things and doesn't do it, the Bible says that to him it's sin. He's missing the mark. And so when you think of sin in terms of just missing the mark, repentance is making a change to get back on track to hit the mark. You get back in alignment with that. And so we used this last week. If these doors are the mark that God has set before us, and that's where he's ordained, that's what we see in the word he has for us, that's what's in our heart, because the Holy Spirit lives inside of us. If you're born again, Holy Spirit leads in you, it lives in you, and he's leading you in the way that you should go. The Bible says the Holy Spirit leads us in the way that we should go. He's ever leading us. And we, because of many, many, many reasons that are common to all of us, it's so easy for us to miss the mark. We're born missing the mark, you know. And so he's leading us towards that mark. And we go along towards the mark sometimes, but oftentimes we're off track. We're not on track, whatever it is, and we're not on track. And what it takes, this is what we talked about last week, to get on track is a turn. But I don't know about you, but I have noticed this in my life. You probably have too. There are times that I turn and I might start going towards the mark, but next thing I know, I'm back over here. Ooh. So there's more to it than just making a turn. So here, you get it? Vanessa's looking at me blinking. You've probably been up since real early this morning, have you? Yeah. And so I want to make it plain. There's the mark. That's where I'm supposed to be going, okay? And so because of my life, where I was born, my thinking, just how I am, whatever it is, the influence of living in a fallen world as a person who lives in flesh, there's the mark, but here I go. But then I feel conviction, or I, you know, see something in the Word, or I just see something in general in life, or I see, hey, there's something better. God has, you know, health for me, or whatever it is, and I see it over there, and so I turn. I'm going to that. But then here I go. I turn, but next thing I know, and sometimes I'm just like, and I'm back going this way. And that's for a lot of us, you know, this is what change looks like. It'd be great if change in our lives just was, you know, like I was going this way and then woo. But rarely is it that way. You know, this is a time of year when people are making different changes. One change that people make, one common resolution, is to stop smoking. And I don't know if you've ever seen statistics on people, you know, people that attempt to quit smoking. But very rarely does someone quit smoking the first time they try. It's very rare. In fact, they say the way to quit cigarettes is to never quit trying to quit. Just keep trying to quit. Because it's an addiction, it's a difficult habit, and just in naturally speaking, to break. But it's something that, you know, you're over here and you've been quit, and next thing you know, you're over here. And then, but what someone who's serious about change, what they'll do is they'll turn, oh, I'm back over here. Oh, I'm quit. Okay. And you might make it a little bit longer each time. But if you'll never quit trying to quit, eventually you'll make that change. And that's one thing I want to encourage us all about tonight in change. The turn begins it, but there's some more to it that has to happen. And I want to talk about that next thing that's so critical in this process of change. The thing I think that really makes, really gives you the chance to make change, and it is this. The word repent, again, the Bible word for change, means to change. It means, though, to change one's mind. To change one's mind, and it really means to change one's mind for the better. And here's the deal, and man, this is the part that just really is frustrating about life. It would be so much easier if change was just about what was going on out here. But change, it doesn't matter what kinds of changes you want in your life, it is not about what's going on out here. It's about what's going on right here. And this right here, your mind, your heart, what Matt was talking about on Sunday when he was talking about renovating the heart, this is where the change has to happen if it's going to last out here. Because you can make changes out here, but they will not be lasting changes until this in here changes. And when this in here changes, then this out here will change and it will last and you will stay changed. And that's very frustrating. But on the other hand, if you will grab hold of this concept, you'll embrace it and you'll put it to, you know, use it for your good, you can see lasting change. And it's change comes from the inside out. Now, so much of what we see or read about or hear, you know, I'm a woman and there are a whole bunch of magazines marketed to me, women's magazines. And will you pick up any kind of women's magazines right now? And I guarantee you there's something on the front cover about losing weight, because this time of year, every, you know, women think, men too, but especially women think we're going to lose weight. And then there's something about getting organized, decluttering your house, doing this or what. There are all these, there's these things that are, and they're just picking out all the things that we're thinking need to be changed. And they're making a list, and you go in and there's an article. And really, you pretty much every magazine has the same article, just different type, you know, different font. And it's about all it is, you know. It just change the verbs a little. It's the same thing. But I tell you, it's the same article they printed last year. Did you know that? And it's the same article they're going to print next year. And you know what? You're going to buy that magazine and read it again. You know, and if you're a person who's given to clutter, you still have last year's magazine. You do. But you buy this one and you add to that clutter. And next year, you're going to get another one, how to declutter your house, buy it, same article, and just stack it with all the others. You understand? Because this is how it is. And marketers, and, you know, they're trying to sell magazines, so they're selling it to us. But, you know, here's the thing. Now, I'll just freely admit it, because if you know me, you know this anyway. But so I might as well freely admit it. I am, by nature, a messy person. Now, do I like order? Absolutely. I married Matt because he was orderly. Just like Kristen married Nate because he was orderly. We were smart. Not them so much, but we were. But I'm by nature, but you know, I just really love to just get it all cleaned up and get it all aligned and get everything in order and all straightened out. Don't you just love that when you walk in and it's like that? But do you know, it doesn't matter how much effort went into bringing that order. It won't take me long. It won't. It won't take me long. And if it, you know, and like in my house, if it's in the kitchen area particularly, I have a lot of help in there. But even my personal space, man, it won't take me long. I'll have stuff, you know, like, it'll be a mess. You know why? Because it's messy in here. It's true. And until I get rid of the mess in here, it's going to be messy out there. I'm not really that interested in getting the mess out of here. I kind of like it. I'm comfortable with it. That's why I've spent almost 50 years in a mess, I suppose. But there's something, you know, I noticed that because I have people in my life who are very orderly. And they will walk through a room, and if they see a little spot on the floor, like a little piece of paper or something, it really bothers them, and they have to pick it up. It doesn't bother me that much. I'm just being honest with you. Something would have to change inside me. The difference between me and a person who's extremely orderly is something about the way we think is different. Something, we are different. And really, we could just really get the big discussion about it we want. But part of the way we are is God made us the way that we are. But there are things about us that are causing us problems and causing people around us problems that we want to make changes in. We're not all supposed to be exactly alike. I know some of you don't like that. Some of you think we're all supposed to be. So don't come live with me. But you understand what I'm saying? There's something, the messiness that I create in my little personal space is not just because I need, you know, to put the blue ones with the blue ones. It's something in here. Do you understand? Well, it's like that in everything in our lives. There's something in here. It's like, have you ever, maybe this describes you. There are people who will lose weight. In fact, will be underweight. But when they look in the mirror, they still see somebody who's overweight. Because that's what's in here. It's what they think. It's what they're imagining about themselves. There are people that, it doesn't matter what they make on a test, they still think I'm dumb. It doesn't matter about their grade. It's what they think about themselves. And, you know, the scripture's full of references to this. I'll throw a couple scriptures in for you. For Proverbs 23, verse 7, for as he thinks in his heart, so is he. What you think in your heart is how you are. For as he thinks in his heart, so is he. And there, in this concept is sprinkled throughout scripture. You see references to it in different ways, you know, not exactly this wording, but in different ways. That what's inside of you, the way that you see, the way that you think, is the way that you are. And then I think Matt even read this on Sunday, and I'll read it again tonight. And this is from the New Living Translation of Proverbs chapter 4. This is just a really important scripture for you to know and understand. Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 23 in the New Living says this. It says, guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life. Now, we're talking about making changes. Well, what are we talking about making changes to? Changes to the course of our lives. Well, what will make a change in the course of your life? Is it just, you know, if I do the 3 steps that are in this article I found? No, what has to happen for the course of your life to change is your heart has to change. Because your heart is what determines your life. And your heart, that part of you where you think and process, the part where your soul meets up with your spirit, that part of you, there has to be some changes in you. And you have to look at things in a different way and understand. You have to get understanding. It's interesting how that's the primary proverb is, with all you're getting, get understanding. Get wisdom, and with all you're getting, get understanding. Because everything else pivots off of you having understanding. So there will be no change in your course until there's a change in your heart. And as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. So there's not going to be a change, not a lasting change. There may be a temporary change, but there will not be a lasting change without a change in your thinking, a change in what you see on the inside, a change in here, a change in your heart, a change in what you believe. There's got to be a change. Now, many of y'all know Sue Lee, who attends our church. Sue and Bob usually sit at the back. Bob is in a rolling chair. That's what my dad used to call them, rolling chairs. He uses a rolling chair. But Sue is very interesting. Several years ago, I went to Sue's 60th birthday party. And most people, because of when she came to the church, she was like she is now. We didn't know her back before, and I've heard her story. And she has a really interesting story, because when Sue turned 50 years old, she was almost 100 pounds overweight. And she had several chronic illnesses that would end her life early. Plus, she was being treated for other very serious conditions. And in everything, and she's 50 years old. And she's dealing with all of this, and she just has a frank discussion with her doctor. And somewhere in all of it, she realizes, and she told me, the Lord dealt with her and told her, you are going to die young if you don't get healthy. And so she decided, like many of us do, she was going this way, and she said, hey, I want a long life. I'm going to have to make a turn. And so she started making a turn, like many people do. But thank God for His help and His wisdom, because it wasn't very long she got into it that she saw, I got to change more than just, you know, a few things I'm doing here. I got to really just renovate my heart. That's really, I got to change all of this on the inside. She realized 50 years of what was in my heart led me to this. I got to change what's on the inside. So she went to work on what was on the inside, and she got a lot of scriptures, and she started putting those scriptures in her heart. But not only did she put scriptures in her heart, she started reading, and she started learning about health and what caused health to come forth. And one thing she did, and I'm not saying you should do this, but this is one thing she did, she quit eating meat. So she just cut meat out of her. Now she eats fish, so that makes her a pescatarian. Not a Presbyterian, a pescatarian, because she still eats fish. But she quit eating meat. But she loved meat. But she just saw, hey, this is something I need to do. So she did that. And then she started learning about foods and started growing her own foods. And then she, I remember one time I went to the store with her and she showed me spelt. It's like a grain. I never heard of it. And she's telling me about it. And I'm like, you are into some wacky stuff. And she's just showing me all these different things. So it was very interesting, all the things that she learned. And then she got so much into it that she decided she was going to become a personal trainer. So then she went through classes and all these things like this to become a personal trainer. And she got certified in doing that. So then she teaches classes and she does spinning classes. This woman who at 50 years old was almost 100 pounds overweight and who was had several chronic diseases that would take her out early. Plus, she had some other really serious conditions. All that going on. And then she could kick your butt today. Yeah, Natalie, you know what I'm talking about. Because she's flat kicked mine. And I know she's kicked yours. Because one day she had me run up a hill. And I'm like, I'm going to run up that hill. Yeah. And I got to the top and I was throwing up. And she didn't seem very impressed at all. And I knew that day she's dangerous. She's like serious about this. But it was something that happened over several years in her life. But what the biggest changes are, and she will tell you this, she's told me this, the biggest changes aren't what happened to her body. The biggest changes are what happened on the inside of her. And her inside, she started thinking in a completely different way. And I'm like, don't you miss meat? This is, you know, what I say to her. She's like, no. And then she starts telling me all the reasons she doesn't miss it. And I'm like, oh, okay. Forget I mentioned that. You know what? There, just her thinking changed. She started thinking about herself in a completely different way. It's radical. But she had radical change and she stayed with it. Do you understand? It's been long-lasting radical change in her life. And it doesn't matter what it is in your life. I'm just using that concerning her health. And by the way, all those chronic diseases are gone. And her health has sprung forth and she's much healthier than she was at 50. And she's much younger than she was at 50. And she's into her 60s by a good piece now. And she could still kick your butt. Okay, just maybe not everybody's, but some of us. Probably you. Okay. So there has to be a change. And if you don't change on the inside, everything else is going to be, it's going to be temporary. Now, I read something by Bill Hybels earlier this week, or maybe it was last week. And I thought about it every day. And so I just thought I'd read it to you tonight. He was talking about something. He said, at this stage of my life, with nearly four decades of church work behind me, I am still learning that my schedule is far less about what I want to get done. See, most of us, if we were going to make a schedule, we would start with a to-do list. This is what I need to do. This is what I want to do. This is what I need to get done, right? And even when we're thinking of things like goals, we're thinking about what do I need to get done? What do I want to accomplish, right? These are the kinds of thoughts that most of us have. And he said that he had come to the point where he'd realized that it was a much less about what it is he wants to get done and far more about who I want to become. And then he said, let me repeat. My schedule is far less about what I want to get done and far more about who I want to become. See, and that's last week we talked about what changes do we want to make. Well, you know, some people probably stepped on the scale and it was pretty apparent what change you wanted to make. You wanted a lower number on the scale. And for some, you know, it might be, I want to spend more time with my family, or I want to pay down debt, or I want to, I mean, we could name 1,000 things that we want for, I want more friends, whatever it is, whatever change it is that you want in your life. But he said, it's not so much about doing these things. It's about who do I want to become? Who do I want to become? Because Sue could have said, I want to lose 80 pounds. Instead, she said, I want to become someone who's in charge of her health, who understands where health comes from, and someone who lives her life in such a way that she fortifies her health and strengthens it and helps and enables other people with their health. See, it's a lot different than I want to lose. You understand what I'm saying? Is this a real transformation? Who is it you want to become? Not just what you want to do. Because what you want to do is all out here. What do you want to do? Because we could come up with some really great to-do lists, couldn't we? I know some of y'all. Y'all can flat get it done. Me, not so much. But you, I know you. You can flat get some of you. Man, you're kind of terrifying how much you can get done. But what you do so often is out here. What about who you're becoming? You ever sit and think of that? Not what you want to accomplish. Who do you want to become? Who do you want to be next year? So this is a different way of thinking. It might be kind of what, you know, God's thinking. Matt talked on Sunday about Christ being formed in you. That's becoming something, not doing something. Ooh, okay. But, you know, what is it? What's going to happen? You know, how do you become something? It involves what's going on here. Here first, and then it gets down into your heart. What's going on here? It's going to be changes in here. And one thing that I know because I read it in the Bible, but I have come to know this through experience for myself. And it's what Jesus said in John chapter 8. And I'll just read there if you want to pull that up. John chapter 8 and verse 31, it's scripture you probably know. And Jesus said to those Jews who believed him, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. If you want to be changed, you're going to have to know some things. And the one thing you have to know is the truth. You're going to have to know the truth. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And Jesus said the way you come to know the truth is you have to abide in the Word. You have to make your home in the Word. You're going to have to get in the Word. And that's like if you want to grow spiritually, let me just say this. I know it's Wednesday night. I'm assuming you're here because you want to grow spiritually, because we gave out the gold stars on Sunday morning. We don't give those on Wednesday night. And so you here you are. If you want to grow spiritually, you're going to have to learn from how to abide in the Word. And abiding in the Word isn't just come on Sunday morning, come on Wednesday night. You know this. But this is a good example. If you want to grow spiritually, which there's nothing more important than growing spiritually. No, there's nothing else. But that's more important than that. But as you grow, you put yourself in the Word, and you put the Word in you, and you live in it, and it lives in you, and the truth of it comes out and changes your life. Well, that same principle works. With Sue, she needed her health to spring forth, so she put the Word concerning health in her, and she got into that, and she began to abide in that. But she also began to learn the truth concerning what the food was that she was putting in her body. And she learned the truth about what kind of muscle fibers that she had, and the slow twitch and the fast twitch, and which ones she needed to be working on in her lung capacity, and how to get it up and how to sustain it, and all these thousands of other things that she learned. She learned some truth. And that truth that she knew, as she knew it, she just naturally began to act on it because it convinced her. It convinced her. She read things about eating meat, and that she took it as truth. And when she saw that truth, she's like, I'm not going to eat that. I'm going to do this instead. I'm going to put this in my body instead. And that her conviction based on that truth that she was, you know, taking in, it caused her behavior to change. You see that? And we try to change our behavior. You can't just change your behavior. You can rein it in for a bit. Come on. Usually you can make it through about 95 minutes here at the church on a Sunday, reining it in. But then you're back out there. Y'all know what I mean. You may make it through 21 days of fasting. What are you going to be doing, you know, come October? Whatever kind of change it is, you can hold it back for a bit. It's like your anger. If you have an anger problem that you need to deal with in your life, you can hold it in sometimes, but it's going to get the best of you unless you deal with the problem, right? You can try to hold it in, but there's going to be that day when it's just going to bust out there. So that's what is going on, is you have to get the truth. And as you know and understand and believe the truth, you'll start to act on it, and it gets in your heart. You'll start speaking it. Not because you're supposed to, but because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. You'll start talking in a different way about yourself and about the situation, whatever it is. Now your words are changing, your actions are changing. You'll be different. And it won't be like, I need to stay over here. I need to stay on the course. I need to stay on the course. No, it will seem the natural thing for you to be on this course. You talk to Sue, and it's just natural that she's not like fighting the fight of the chicken drumstick every day. You know what I mean? She's not pulling in and out of McDonald's every day. Okay, no, I can't eat in there. No, that's not the way that she goes. She's changed the course of her life. So whatever it is in your life, you changed the course. But you got to find the truth. You got to find the truth. And there's a lot of ways to find truth. But you know, Matt and I went to counseling for many years. And that was all about finding the truth. You know, a lot of times you go somewhere and you're trying to get fixed. Come, I need you to fix him. I'm going to give you some big money to fix him and make him act right. And that never works. You have to go and say, can I find the truth? And somewhere between there and here and God Almighty, you can find some truth. And the truth will bring you freedom. But all of us, whatever changes we're looking to make, if you want to, that's why we're doing the series on relationships, because probably very few people have, as you know, a change they need to make in their life having to do with relationships. But I'm going to tell you, every one of us need to make changes when it comes to relationships. Every one of us. Every one of us need changes in the way we relate to other people. And the reality is, so many problems that we have in all kinds of other areas are really relationship problems. True. It's true. If you really get down, you figure out, wait a minute, maybe the reason I spend this money, maybe the reason I do a lot of the things that I do are relational issues, and they come out in other ways, but it really gets down to it. It's a relational issue. But we're trying to get some truth back there. I'm hunting for it. I'm trying to feed it to you. I don't know particularly exactly what truth you need, but the Holy Spirit, the truth-giving Spirit Himself, just so happens to live inside of you. And His job description includes this phrase: He will lead you and guide you into all the truth. And it's that truth that you need for freedom. And we could say it this way: it's the truth that'll get you on course. This is freedom. God's course for you is freedom. That's the course. And truth, His truth, the truth that He knows you need, the truth that the Holy Spirit will lead you to, it'll get you on course. You have to expose yourself to it. You have to search for it. You have to be open to it when it comes and quit rejecting it because you think it sounds like criticism, and it's actually truth. You have to apply yourself to it. You know? It's not easy. But it's really, really worth it. It's really, really worth it. It's really, really worth it. If you knew how wonderful it is, honestly, to be in my marriage or to be in my family, you would fight to find the truth so you could have it too. It's really good. It's really good. I feel sorry for people that don't know what that's like, to really have a loving family. God wants it for every person, but you're going to have to hunt down the truth. And it wasn't easy. It's still not easy. You understand? It's not, I mean, it's tough on you, because I don't like to change, and I don't like, you know, I don't like to be wrong, and I don't like to have to admit I don't know something. My goodness, I hate to think I don't know something, but I don't know everything, and I have to learn. I have to seek it out. I have to get wisdom. I have to get understanding. And if you're going to change, you have to do it in here. Whatever it is, whatever area it is, it's right in here. So your plan to declutter your house, it needs to start with decluttering right here. To whatever it is, it's got to have this going. It's got to be the change here. Now I'm sitting here looking at Matt Wiley. He could probably get up here and tell me this better, because we've seen him shrink on the outside, but we probably have no idea how much change there was on the inside of this man. I'm sure he can't possibly think of himself the way he used to think of himself and live the way mentally and all that he used to live. It's change. It's inside. And, you know, I'm sure Georgette has testimony of paying off a lot of debt. You had to change the way you thought about money, didn't you? You had to learn a lot of truth. It was hard. You remember going through financial peace? Boy, it was a slap in the face. Brutal. So, we're talking about real change. I just, you know, I wish it was just rah, rah, hoop de woo. Boy, I'd love that. I'd be great at change if that's all it took. But that's over in a few moments. And then brutal reality sets in. That's where the change has to come in. All right, we're going to break apart into groups like we did last week, because I know you want to talk about this. I'm going to tell you how we're going to do that, but this is what we're going to do. I'm going to ask you to share what thoughts or thought patterns that you know you need to change or acquire. What on the inside do you need more understanding with? What truth is it that you need to seek out? And how do you plan to do that? How can you get the understanding you need? And we're going to share that with each other. And then we're going to close by praying for each other. And we're going to ask for wisdom, because that's what we need. We need wisdom. Whatever changes you want to make, you need wisdom. If you want a better marriage, Lord knows you need wisdom.